You're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Don't change our dial. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station, it's time for...
Listen up. Jesus is on the air.
Did you lose your voice, Palmer?
No, I just wanted to be in contrast to your voice.
Oh, okay.
So people know that we're different, that's all.
Oh, sure, they know we're different, all right.
You know, because you know how you are.
Yes,
hey,
I know.
I want you to know something. I'm going to... By the end of today, I'm going to put on a whole new outfit for Jesus. Because today's scripture is
new
wineskin. Put on your new wineskin. And that's what I'm going to do today. I may drink the wine first
so I can fit into
the wineskin.
But let me ask you a question. Isn't that what conversion is all about?
Yes, it is.
Putting on a new wineskin?
Yes, it is.
And we got two people here that are going to talk to us a little bit.
Why don't you introduce
them? Well, I got John and I got Stacy here, and I'll let them
introduce
themselves.
John and Stacy.
Yes, but I want them to introduce themselves. Johnny?
Good morning. Hello. This is John.
And Stacy.
And they have six children?
Yes, we have six.
And they got the best names I ever heard.
Hi.
Tell them the names. Oh, that's one of the children.
You want to say hi?
We'll Come start, on, say hello,
we'll
kid.
Start with the
One,
oldest.
Two, three. Okay. All the kids, say hello.
Hello.
Hey. Okay, and you're going to have a big day today. You're going to Adelphi, aren't you?
Yes. After this.
And that's today.
Yes, we're going to, there's an event.
Fools for Christ, put on by the Catholic ministry team. And there's going to be some speakers and Audrey Assad, Righteous Bee performing.
Yes.
So it should be a really great day from noon, I think, until 9.
12 noon until 9 at Adelphi in Garden City.
Yes.
And you guys are going to be there and you're going to be...
we're going to be there as a vendor. We're going to have a table,
vendor?
Yes, with our products.
So you may want to go to Adelphi and say hello to them and tell them, you heard it on Listen Up. Jesus
right.
is on the air.
That's right.
We know that you both have had a conversion experience in your lifetime. Maybe you could tell our listeners what happened. And how did you all of a sudden have your life turn around? Take it one at a time. We're in no rush, especially with all the kids here.
Yeah. What happened?
We had a conversion at similar time. Not exactly.
Praise God. Thank
not
God.
Exactly the same, but similar.
Okay.
It took us quite some time
to
have the full conversion, I would say.
It's a long process.
Yeah,
we're still having a daily conversion, trying to stay on the path, But our initial conversion, I guess, for myself, I didn't really know what I was going through at the time because I didn't even know what conversion meant. Mm-hmm. You hear it, or I heard it, Sunday at Mass, St. Paul, you hear conversion, but I didn't really understand what it was. So I think I was watching a lot of EWTN at the time, and I think I remember seeing something, and Joe Campo from Grassroots Film was talking.
Oh,
yeah, he was at a conference somewhere, and he was talking about conversion, and he said the same thing, like he was having a conversion, and he didn't even know what a conversion was, and when I heard that, I was like, oh my gosh, that's what it is. That it's a conversion.
Was happening?
Well. Basically, for myself, John and I were both born and raised Catholic, and when we initially met, it was something, we just immediately started going to church together.
Mm-hmm.
We were kind of Catholics, just, because we knew we had
you
to
were
go to church.
Catholics.
Yeah, we were practicing, but
you weren't in the game yet.
Yeah, we were going to Sunday Mass, thank the Lord. And then... I guess the Lord kind of smacked us with a 2x4 and kind of said, okay, I don't want you going this way. You got to go a different way. Mm-hmm. And worldly things, like financially we had a business. We were self-employed. We used to make handbags. And the business just kind of stopped. And so we were, it was like a financial whirlwind that we were stuck in, and things were just spiraling out of control. And since we were very in the world, we had a lot of, you know, material possessions. So mm-hmm. with no income, debt started piling up, and we started losing things, you know, house, car, motorcycle, and stuff.
Little things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but uh-huh. at the time, you don't realize how attached you are to them. So it's kind of a big deal. It's kind of traumatic. So he was kind of picking us out of the world and slowly taking these things away from us little by little, I guess, to kind of get
he
our...
He does that.
Yeah, and get our attention absolutely. Onto him. Absolutely. Rather than all of our things. And I never realized how distracted I was with those things.
It's pretty much, as I was, when I tell my people that I know that about our conversion, I usually tell them a story about, it's similar to a person who have substance abuse. And it's almost like God has detoxicated us from the world and slowly and removed us from the world of all that distraction. As I think on our brochure, actually, it says we call it the baptism of repentance.
Mm-hmm.
The baptism of
repentance.
Yes.
Repentance.
It's actually St.
Absolutely.
Paul had mentioned that in one of his letters.
Yeah, and JP2 spoke about that.
John Paul II.
Yes. Yeah.
And how did that come about? What did you do? You just let go of...
That's pretty
well,
much
was
it. It
well,
was
it was a long process.
Yeah,
and we didn't let go immediately.
But you knew that this was a change coming on, or you just thought you were having bad times?
Well, that was part of it. Yeah, we thought we were having bad times. But the good thing about it is that we immediately turned to God. And we started praying to him, and we started going to daily mass and just praying, like, constantly, because we didn't know what else to do.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't
mm-hmm.
know where else to turn. Yeah.
When there's nowhere to turn,
yeah.
where do you turn? To Jesus.
Yeah.
Well,
and
that's one of the 12 steps in the 12-step program.
Yeah.
Lord, I can't handle
yeah.
this.
That's
I've got
to
turn it all over to you.
Oh, my gosh.
That's pretty
and
much
he
it.
Tells you, he tells you that in Matt 11.
Mm-hmm.
Turn your burdens over to me, and I will carry them.
Yes.
And I will make them light.
And we didn't do it very easily. We didn't just say, oh, here you go.
Yeah, we didn't
it
let
was
go.
A process.
We didn't really quite let go. Actually, for myself, on November 9, 2007, our parish was having a retreat. And my wife, Stacy, said that I think we should go. And lo and behold, that is actually the time for myself that I had to really let go and give it all back to Jesus, because there's no I would say I had nowhere to go. I pretty much end up being in the what do you call this
at the end of your rope.
Yeah, pretty much. So I laid myself on the ground and I just surrendered to him, and that's when the Franciscan Friars of Renewal were there hosting
oh.
the
mm-hmm.
the retreat, and it was very beautiful. And I just
do you remember who the priest was from the
it was actually
Father Marius
was leading it, and then they had Brother Andrew was leading the music, Brother Tobias was kind of hosting the whole entire thing, and the rest of the brothers were there. Brother Philip was there.
Because I know so many of them. Father
yeah.
Stan Fortuna
yes.
with his music.
Yes.
And his rap, Our Father. Do you ever hear him do the Our Father as a rap?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Isn't that great?
He's amazing.
He's great. He's
yeah.
awesome.
As a rap song.
And that was the first time I've ever seen a monk. I never seen a
yeah,
monk
that's
before.
We were really exposed
uh-huh.
and so close,
yeah.
and you get to talk to them. And
it was such a beautiful experience, because, you know, they came into the church, and all I see is this, there's like, they're so beautiful and happy and
peaceful.
And in the
peaceful.
Gray outfits.
And, yeah.
And you know, and I'm just full of turmoil at that time. I just couldn't stand myself, the way my life was going. I didn't know how to take care of my kids. We pretty much lost everything that we had. We had no money. We're practically bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
All our properties were foreclosed. All our, you know, all the other things, our vehicles were being repossessed. So there's a lot of things financially. It was, I would say, a trip to that conversion. We hear a lot of different, because I love to hear different conversion stories. And some people go through health. Some people go through, you know, other different types of conversion. For us, it was the financial handicap that we end up getting.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just, you know.
God came in somehow, didn't he?
Oh, absolutely. Beautiful.
How did he let you know he was with you?
After that night.
Once you invite him, he comes.
Yes.
Yeah. And right? It's beautiful. And it's like, I always tell the story like to my friend. I explain to them, you ever watched the movie Matrix?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's like the movie Matrix when Keanu Reeves thought he was living a life that he thought it was real, but in reality, it was all a lie.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what my life was. My life was just pretty much was a lie.
That's thinking everybody who goes by the values of the world of man
yes.
are living a lie, even though they think it's true.
Right.
Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. So it was quite, I would say, an extraordinary moment for myself and for my family, because after that, by January 2008, that's when God started really. I mean, He's always been revealing things to us.
One day at a time.
We just weren't listening.
Yeah.
We weren't paying attention.
That's the secret. You need to open your heart and listen.
Yeah. So we were blinded.
Absolutely.
We were completely blinded by the world. So we couldn't see all the beautiful things that He already had shown to us. But
well, we were blinded by our sin, because we also then, at that time, were going to confession. We were going to confession, not regularly.
Yeah. We weren't really practicing Catholics. We were Catholics, but we weren't practicing Catholics.
In name only.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, every Catholic is a practicing Catholic. Not one of us gets it right.
Yeah.
Well,
I guess that's why we need to keep practicing.
I like to say you're not quite into the game yet.
Yeah.
But you're practicing.
Yeah.
Getting there.
We weren't.
And then after January, and that's when the Lord started revealing things to us and started leading us. And we didn't know. I was out of work. I couldn't find work in the fashion industry that I was in for over 20 years. God has just really closed the door. I mean, it was
He closed doors, but then He started opening
other
different
avenues,
ones.
Other directions.
And we were meeting new people that He wanted us to meet, and that would lead us in the direction in which He
amazing?
Wanted us to go to.
Isn't that amazing? All of a sudden, somebody pops into your life.
Yes.
And that person is so important to lead you. And it's God leading you through people.
Yeah.
It's your story so beautiful.
Yeah.
That's how we end up here.
It is
Praise
so
God.
Beautiful. Praise Jesus.
Oh, it's
and you know
a
what?
Blessing.
There are people out there listening that are going to be touched by the story. I assure you. They're going to
I
be
hope
touched.
So.
And I bet you learned God is not a one-night stand.
No, not every day.
Every day, a little at a time.
So tell me, I'm getting excited. Tell me, what did he do?
So
what happened here?
Well, we never knew what a spiritual director was. And then after meeting the friars, what happened?
We actually
contacted
my wife again leading. And it's funny because our spiritual director, when we had a spiritual director, was always saying, listen to your wife. And I should be really listening to her. So my wife kept telling me to go and to this men's prayer in March at the Friary and at Newark, Most Blessed Sacrament. And so I went and attended, and that's where I met Mr. Joe Camper from Grassroots Films. And I met the rest of the friars there. Father Glenn,
He's great.
Yes, he is. And I had such a great experience. I never seen so many men praising and worshiping and singing about Jesus and about God. And it was such a great feeling that, you know, here you are, you know, all ages, men of God are, they're just praying and worshiping and glorifying him and giving him thanks. And it was so beautiful. It was such a great experience. And, you know, both my wife and I love historic properties. And, you know, the Most Blessed Sacrament in Newark is, it's an old French Quarter kind of monastery. It's really beautiful. And you would never think you're in Newark. So after that experience, I told my wife, it's like, oh, we should really visit this monastery. It's amazing. It's beautiful.
Well,
so,
he kind of came home a changed
yeah,
again.
I was it, changed
it's
again.
It's funny. The conversion process is not just like a once and done
right.
thing.
Yeah.
It is a process.
Incrementally.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And yeah. you kind of get closer, and then
closer,
and then closer,
and then you lose
and
it.
You,
and
yeah,
you come
you
back
take
again.
A step back. But he came back very.
That was my first semester.
he came back, you know, hugging all of us and apologizing to us and saying sorry and just that he's going to try to be a better husband,
still,
a better father.
Still trying.
And it was very beautiful because he had a, I think he had a very,
I had a very long
confession.
I had about an hour and a half of confession and, you know, which I never done before. And I knew I had to do it in order to really start fresh and to let go of the things that, you know, bad things that I've done.
Yeah.
So
that kind of happened to me also. Yeah. I had a confession, prior that there was something that I was holding on to that I was saying sorry to God in my heart, but I never had the guts to say it out loud verbally to a priest. Okay. And I went into a confession and I had my confession and I came out and I knew that I had to confess one last thing that I didn't confess and I was just holding on to. And I came out, and I wanted to go right back in again, but there was a line of people. So I had to go stand. Luckily, there were only, like, I think two people. So I went back and stood on the line. And I'm, like, biting my nails and sweating. Oh, my, am I really going to do this? Do I have to do this? But I knew I had to. And I went back in, and I, you know, I came in. I said to the priest, I was just in here, like, 2 minutes ago confessing. And I have one last thing I have to confess. And I just said it. And I was just waiting to hear something negative or, you know, oh, how could you? And I didn't hear anything like that. And he just said, you're forgiven. And I just, like, started crying because I was holding it for such a long time and I never realized how it affected me.
Yep.
And I think after I had that confession, that's when I could really see, feel the grace of God.
Absolutely.
In my life.
You know, you're making Palmer and myself cry.
Sorry.
And I never see that guy cry.
No, but really, you're talking about being an addict who bottomed out,
yeah,
addicted to the world of man, and bottomed out, and then Jesus came in and filled you up.
Oh, yeah.
Well, isn't that the way it works?
Isn't that the way it is?
Yeah.
He empties you out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cleans the slate.
Right. Yeah.
And then comes
about, is that
yeah,
dying to yourself?
Yeah, because he
right,
can't,
yeah,
he, you know, he can't work. And, you know, he can only fill your hands if your hands are empty.
Yeah.
So you really think Jesus knew what he was talking about?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot who said this before, but I know I was talking to a priest, but I don't remember exactly who it is. But he was saying that in order for God to make, to work his miracle, you have to be a participant.
Yep.
Because the miracle itself,
absolutely,
can't work by itself.
That's
you,
right.
It needs you to be in it in order for that miracle to happen. So it's, so you know, I think, I believe that, you know, the conversion is actually a miracle itself.
It is.
And it is a gift, and it's a grace. And, you know, after that, you know, we're so much on fire that I try to convert my friends, which is rule number one.
Yeah, I don't know if it's so much you trying to convert them, but you're so in love with
but
the Lord that you just want
to,
just
that's
like when you fall in love with somebody, you just want to talk about them all the
time.
You
want to give it to everybody.
You
want to
share.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I just want to, like, you gotta taste this.
I can't believe this happened.
It's like, you know, riding a roller coaster. Like, you know, like, this is the best roller coaster. You gotta try it. You gotta get in the front and just dive right into it.
Yeah.
That's
beautiful.
That's what it feels like. And, you know, I was so much like, you know, I just didn't know how to, you know, to share it properly because I just went head on and just hitting all the people that all the people that I know, and just like, oh, listen, you know, hey, guess what I did? Or,
but you know, you're saying what St. Teresa of Avila says. Nobody will ever understand what you're talking about unless they experience
yes.
it. You got to say yes, and you got to let go.
Yeah.
Yes. And then God comes in.
Yes. But isn't that what happened to you, happened to the disciples when they were hit with the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
And they ran out and start spreading out throughout the world, evangelizing.
We had our own.
You were hit with the Holy Spirit, my friend.
Yeah. We had our own personal Pentecost.
But I cut you off. You were going to say something else in relation to what John was talking about, letting go. And
oh, I just the other day I came across a quote from Mother Teresa about prayer, and I think she says something about how she used to believe prayer changes things, but then she realizes that prayer changes us.
Yep,
absolutely.
So, throughout the whole conversion process, how he was saying it's a miracle, and we participate in it, so we become changed, just like prayer changes us.
Yeah.
Now this all happened gradually.
Oh yeah.
As you were having bad times and stuff like that, you still kept your faith, though, didn't you? I mean,
yes and no. Because we're still holding on to that my will, my pride. I can do it. I don't need anybody's help.
We're still battling with that.
Oh yeah,
I'm battle with letting go.
I'm still constantly
battling.
It's a
free will choice.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And your life is created by the choices you make.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the more you say yes to Jesus, whammo.
Yeah.
And then you meet him and you say, is this really you, God? Yeah. Don't you have things like that? Is this really God?
Yeah. It's very true.
Yes.
And that's pretty much what happened after, you know, after that. And, you know, I was still looking for work. I still didn't know what we were going to do. But we wanted to participate at our parish, and you know, we want to do this, we want to do that, we want to do everything,
we wanted to do something for the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we didn't know, and then we started with the Easter celebration at our parish, and we said, oh, you know, it'd be great if we hand out car magnets and, you know, and a free t-shirt. That's pretty much how it all started.
Well, at the time, also, we had a spiritual director, which was something else that we didn't know what it was.
Who was your spiritual director?
Father Christopher from the Franciscan Friars.
Tell us, what is a spiritual director? Why should our listeners think about having a spiritual director?
It's the way to guide you spiritually on especially on God's will. And his providence for you, our spiritual director taught us how to discern. Number one, discerns God's will,
which is something again we never had heard of. Yeah. So
prayerful,
which we're still learning. Mm-hmm. Discerning is very difficult.
Yeah.
But we've come to learn how important prayer is in our lives and trying to stay in touch with God. Yeah. Because that's how he speaks to us, really through prayer. A lot through prayer.
Prayer is very important, and I didn't realize how much prayer is so important, because that is our way to communicate with God, and that's how God can talk to us, through prayers. And, you know, it's our link.
Yeah,
it's like www.god.com.
True.
You got to go onto his website. and chat with him, because that's, you know,
because he chats back.
Yes, he does.
Either through scripture or music or other people, he comes
in different ways.
Yeah. Yes, our spiritual director introduced us to the Liturgy of the Hours,
the church prayer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which is so beautiful. Which we
continually,
we haven't been doing as good of a job as we.
Yeah, we that's one of the things that we're trying very hard as a family. Actually, we've been trying to include our children in it, but you know, it's a challenge. It's, you know, anything we got is always a challenge.
Absolutely.
You know, when Jesus said, come follow me, pick up your cross, come follow me, he didn't say, you know, it wasn't a portable cross, it wasn't made out of styrofoam, it wasn't compact, you know, it's a cross made out of wood with you know.
Or sometimes John says, which is pretty funny, he didn't say, get in your BMW and follow me.
That's
not
right.
That BMW is bad, but,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
or,
very true,
or
though.
Pick up your coach
your
handbag and follow me.
So it means follow me, but,
yeah.
You know, you are going to go through
yeah.
some
yeah.
trials and tribulations.
Yeah.
So through our spiritual, I always recommend to for people to have spiritual director, because it really helps them and guide them to what God's will for them. And it really, for us, it really, you know, because I didn't know why. I thought I was blacklisted. I couldn't find work. I didn't know why I was, you know, I've been in the industry so long. I just couldn't understand why, and why was happening this and why. And then through prayers and through discernment, that's where Proud Catholic Company came about.
And you know what you're saying? You say yes and ask God to make your heart his dwelling place. Let's get a little
yes.
song right now.
I knew a song was coming on.
You saw me jumping up and
I
down.
I saw you waving up and down.
The resting place of the soul ever true. Make my heart a fire with the brightness of your sun. Make my heart a dwelling place for the Holy One. Make my heart your dwelling place, a temple just for you. Consecrated resting place of a soul ever true. Make my heart a fire with the brightness of your sun. Make my heart a dwelling place for the
You know, it's funny the way God works. He chooses this music, and it just fits.
Very apropos.
Just
fits. It
was
very apropos.
You know, of course, God chose it. And, you know, we have a saint of each program, too. And today we have St. Thomas, who's known as a doubter.
Yeah, and you know.
Yes.
But he was so powerful.
St. Thomas, you know, now I know why Jesus insisted that I select St. Thomas.
Go ahead.
It's, well, St. Thomas unfortunately had the nickname. He said one thing, and that gave him a nickname, and unfortunately the poor guy, that nickname stuck with him for his whole life, St. Thomas the Doubter.
Yeah.
But he wasn't really a doubter. He actually was a believer, and when I tell the story, you'll see.
You know, he's my saint, too, because I'm a doubter, and I
yes.
think we all are.
Yes, I know you are. But in any event, he was stuck with that nickname. He also had another nickname. In Greek, it's the twin, because he's a twin. But no one knows anything about his other twin. So he had
a
nickname. He had a nickname in Greek called the twin.
The twin.
The twin, yeah.
Hmm. That's the
first time I've ever heard it, but I picked it up in my research, but no one knows anything about that. So previously he was called, in Greek, the twin.
The twin.
Guess who else was called the twin?
Well, I think you're going towards your brother and yourself.
Yes, I was called Twinny. My nickname was Twinny because I was a twin.
And John, so. His brother, I met his brother, and they were identical twins or fraternal twins, whatever. And I said to him, you know, you got the best of the egg. because he got the least
amount.
Well,
that's true. He's better looking than me. He's smarter than me. So he's right. So I can't complain. But just as some people always get to be known by their nickname, so this happened to poor Thomas. And he, as I said, he was also known as the twin, although we don't know anything about his twin brother or any of his family. Nowadays, of course, he's known as Thomas the Doubter. And
he should be Thomas the Evangelizer.
He should be the Evangelizer. Yeah, because in reality...
I'll be still now. I won't interrupt you.
Please don't. And it's okay, though. You may.
Thank you.
In reality, he was the first one that actually paid homage to Jesus, because when Jesus appeared to the disciples and he walked through the walls, and the first thing he said was, "Thomas, put your fingers in my hands and feel those holes, and put your finger in my side." And he did. And once he did that, he proclaimed Jesus. He says, "You are my Lord and my Savior." So he was actually the first disciple to actually claim, after Jesus' death, the magnificence of Jesus.
And he had a conversion experience.
He had to be shown. So, and Jesus said, "Blessed are you have seen and believe, and blessed are those that have not seen and believe."
That's right.
And it's so true. But anyway, unless I see, he had said, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands, I won't believe it. Unless I put my hand on those marks and on the mark where the sword passed his side, I won't believe it." And then a week later, and the disciples gathered together, and then Jesus appeared, and Jesus wiped away all his doubts.
You know, that's what John and Stacy went through in that
Absolutely.
Conversion.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's why I said this is so apropos.
Yes.
But not so much else is said about him in the Bible. But there is another story about Thomas. It tells how the 12 disciples drew lots to decide which countries they were going to go to evangelize. And it fell to Thomas to go to India. Now, I also learned that by Dr. Palmer that in 1600, in India, they found a community.
Yeah, and they called themselves the Thomas Christian Community. Thomas
so,
Catholic.
Really?
Yeah.
Just
so,
1600. Long after Thomas had been pushing up the daisies.
But the thing is that when he was selected to go there, he didn't like the idea. But it so happened that a merchant named Abin turned up at the moment, looking for a carpenter to help him build a new palace for his king, and selected Thomas to go and help build the town. Mm-hmm. So he did. And while he was there, he was evangelizing. So because Thomas was a carpenter, he went and he did the job. And when he returned, he found that he was given money. He had money and he was giving it to the poor. And he was preaching. He was spending his time preaching. He was spending his time evangelizing about Jesus. And before anything, the king's brother took ill, so ill that everyone thought that he was dying. Instead, he recovered and immediately told the king that Thomas was a man of God and that Thomas should not be harmed in any way.
Isn't that amazing what God did there? Mm. It's amazing.
And so he said, "When I was ill, I was taken to heaven." This is what the brother says. "I was taken to heaven by the angels, and I was shown a place more wonderful than on earth ever was. And I was told such joys and awaiting in heaven for all those who believe in the Christian message as spoken by Thomas."
Yeah.
So the king was so impressed that he sent the message that Thomas should be taken care of, he should never go to prison, and she should come to talk to him about Jesus.
Mm.
So Thomas did, ending the story of how he himself had doubted that Jesus had risen from the dead. He added the words Jesus had said once he did believe. Happy are those who have not seen and yet believe. And this is what he told his king.
Praise God.
Praise Jesus. So the king and his brother both became Christians, and he converted them. And it said that Thomas journeyed on into India. And about the year 1542, many centuries after he was supposed to have been there, Francis Xavier went on a journey to India. He met a group who believers had named themselves the Christians of St.
Thomas. See, you knew
it
all along.
Yes,
you thought I was telling you something you didn't
know.
Well,
I wanted people to know that you added something great to this thing. And so he conducted their worship in a way that the early disciples had done. And so maybe the story is true and maybe it isn't, but it's so enlightening and so spiritual. One more thing. They also found the Gospel of Thomas. And now it was found in in 1946, a group of Egyptian workmen discovered a number of ancient scrolls. Among them was the Gospel according to Thomas, which of course was too late to put into the Bible and stuff like that. But unlike the Gospel in the Bible, it does not tell the story of Jesus' life, but lists a number of his sayings. Some are like the ones in the New Testament Gospels, but it is not certain whether the others are genuine or not. For example, he wrote, Jesus said, I will give you what eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and hand has not touched, and in which has not come into the heart of man. He also said, blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. And he also said, I am the all, the split wood, I am there. Lift up a stone, I am there. You will find me everywhere.
Wow.
And so that's the brief story of St. Thomas, the twin,
and it
and
fits.
The doubter.
It fits this program so
absolutely
dramatically.
But I did not know that when I selected Thomas. I did not know that Stacy and John were going to fit this program.
And the important thing that, besides all the conversion, God has given you a way to support yourself through the proud Catholic company. Why don't you tell our listeners what you're doing now? Because you're evangelizing through your gifts.
That's pretty much what we're doing. Proud Catholic Company really stands for the three power E's, which is we're here to encourage, empower, and evangelize one another through the medium of apparel. We utilize apparel as a way or means to evangelize a whole bunch of people without having a voice, without having to speak. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a perfect short story real quick. We were down in Delaware, and we usually go down in Lewis, Delaware for the summer, and we went to Giant, to the supermarket, to get some food and stuff like that. We just happened to be wearing our religious habit, which is our Proud Catholic Company apparel. So we walking down the hallway,
sure,
walking down the aisle, pushing the cart. I have a shirt that says, Be Not Afraid. Actually, my wife's wearing it right now. And so as we're just pushing the cart, we sense and we can see people reading our shirts. Said, Be Not Afraid. You can tell because some of them actually, what do you call that? You almost can see their lips saying, Be Not Afraid.
Yeah.
Without even realizing they're doing it. And they're just staring at your shirt. And again, I'm just pushing the cart. I'm not going up to them and giving that pressure and say, oh, listen, this is what I have to say. But all I'm doing is just pushing my car with my family and my kids, mm-hmm, wearing shirts too. And people are just reading that. And hopefully, and we pray that God will sprinkle with his grace and for them to go through some sort of conversion too. But so that's what primarily we believe that God's mission for us. Both my wife and I were in the fashion industry. I guess God called us to utilize our fashion experience in the industry for over 20 years to utilize that to evangelize. As the one thing that hit me about the St. Thomas story Dr. Tony was mentioning, but he didn't want to go at first.
Yeah.
And that's exactly my feeling when I first started doing this. Like, I don't really want to do this because, you know, there isn't any money in it. And again, I'm thinking the way, you know, a secular person would think about.
Who would buy Jesus stuff?
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's not.
Yes.
And it was a constant battle for myself. Like, you know, I want to get back into the industry I was in and support my family that way. But that wasn't God's plan.
No.
It wasn't. And
you're
and
back in the industry, but not yes, but it's God's way. Industry,
but you're evangelizing.
Yes.
Through your business.
Yes.
And I think that's what God's plan was, to evangelize your business.
That's why Pride Catholic Company is a mission-driven business, because it's not just business, but it has a mission, and our mission is to evangelize one another. And especially now these days, we need to be, we really need to encourage each other, empower each other, and evangelize one another, no matter what it is and how, and whatever, we have to be participant so God's, you know, so God's work can be in at work in all of us. And so that through the medium, that's what we use, is we use the apparel as a way to.
And you make more than just t-shirts, don't you?
Yes.
Oh,
yes, we do other other religious, I would we call it a lay habit. This is our uniform for us lay people. This is what we wear. As you see, the priests wear their religious habit. The brothers, you know, the Franciscan friars, they wear their habits, the gray friars.
It's your new wineskin.
This is, yes, exactly, exactly. And so that's, you know, we make hats. We do different non-apparel mugs. We do iPhone habits. So we do all kinds of difference. And outside the Proud Catholic Company, I'm sorry, Dr. Tony, outside of our Proud Catholic Company as a brand itself, we do have, we do provide a service. It's called the Outreach Program. We try to help out other ministries, organizations, parishes, church, different organizations out there that within the church, we try to help them.
Evangelizing.
You know.
I wanted to mention that. That's what you do. And you're very receptive to people that are in need. And you guys were in need at one time. And you're just spreading the grace that Jesus gave you guys.
Yes.
So and you're being led to use your gifts in the fashion industry to evangelize. And because you're living it, it's so easy to evangelize, because people ask you, what do you mean, Stacy? Be not afraid, you know, just have faith, John. That's what's on their shirts. You don't see that audience.
Yeah.
365 times in the scriptures, God says, be not afraid. And, you know, being what we find out through our conversion, being Catholic, it's really not just going to church on Sundays. It's more to it. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Being Catholic, it's a lifestyle.
You have to live it.
And what we're doing is really the new evangelization. It's the new sign in the new times of evangelization.
All right. I have one quick question.
Sure.
Now, there are people, listeners, that I'm sure are experiencing the same trials and tribulations that you guys did. I'm positive of it.
Oh, yes.
Can you just tell them a little something, a little advice, a little something that what should they do?
Well, one thing I think that's most important that they should know, and that I try to remember now all the time, is that God will make good out of everything. So no matter what you're going through and you think is horrible or how bad it is, He will turn it around and make good out of it.
Because
everything that I've come to know that in my life. And now I just know that if something happens to us that is a little hard or not agreeable to what I not my will, but let His will be done, I just say, okay, God, I trust You, and I know that there's a reason why I'm going through this, and You're going to make good out of it, either for myself or for someone else.
And He does.
He absolutely does. So you know, I've learned to just accept it and kind of really learned what it means to offer up situations and just how to pray, to pray through it and just, you know, if it's for my benefit or for someone else's, you know, offer it up to him.
What's your baby's name that just came over? How old is the baby?
She's 10 weeks on Monday. She'll ten be 10 weeks, right? Bless her. Name is Mercy. Mercy Grace.
You have the best names of children.
We need all the mercies and all the grace.
Tell us the names of your children.
Well, it's funny. You can see in the names of our kids when our conversion started. Our first child is Mackenzie. And then Journey, and Riley, and then Holy, and Kyrie, or we call her Kyrie, yeah. Uh-huh. And Mercy. Oh, so Holy is when we were going through our conversion.
She was born in 2007. So
are you planning to have 12 apostles?
let God be done. Yeah. Let God will be done.
There wasn't an answer there.
That's easy for him to say.
Right.
As St. Faustina said, just to add a little bit of the what Dr. Tony was saying about what advice, St. Faustina, Divine Mercy, Jesus, I trust in you. And that's pretty much sums it up. And and St. Thomas by saying, my Lord and my God.
Yeah.
And because only through him that's actually is the way, the only way.
I don't want you to even think of stopping to talk until you tell people how they can get in touch with you and your company.
Yes.
And get some of these materials, please.
Absolutely.
We've got to give them time to get their pens and pencils. So did you get your pen? You got the paper?
And
now
you wanna
write these things down. Go ahead, Tony.
And if you want to meet them personally, it's so right in front of you. Go to Adelphi University. They're going to be there today.
Tonight, from 12 to 9.
Say hello. Tell them you heard them on. Listen up.
We'd love to meet you.
And then we come to all the different events, too. If
we
you
go
guys
to a lot
want
of Catholic events.
If you guys want to invite us, please, you can contact us at info@proudcatholiccompany.com. That's all spelled out. And you can
Proud. Info,
info at proudcatholiccompany.com. That's our email address.
What is that? Proud. What is the name?
Proud Catholic
Company.com. Oh,
yep.
Did you hear that, Tony?
Yes.
What was that?
Info at proudcatholiccompany.com. But if you Catholic organizations out there, new parishes are looking for a fundraiser or looking or having an affair, these are the people to call.
Yes.
They're religious. They're conversions.
They're living it.
They're living it.
They're living the
call
new evangelization.
Them.
Yes.
They'll do you
especially
unbelievable.
For World Youth Day. I know it's a little too late, but if anybody need any help.
Any shirts?
Yeah.
Any hats?
Let us know.
Any bandanas?
Any way that you can evangelize out in Brazil.
We'll
let's
help you.
It.
Oh, the youth. You're talking about the youth trip
to
Brazil.
Anybody going to
Youth
Day?
It's in a few weeks. But I'll tell you, once you meet John and Stacy, you're going to fall in love with them. I know it, because I did. And that's why they're on the show.
Thank you very much.
Well, just, by people helping us, and supporting our mission, they're helping us do God's will in our life.
Yes.
That's right.
So they're helping us at the same time.
And God put us here at WGBB. So thank you very much, Dr. Tony and Dr. John.
Okay.
And our website.
Website's www.proudcatholiccompany.com. And we're updating as every day.
And the people have heard banging in the background.
Yeah,
well,
sorry.
The sick kids are going in and out. And there's a little room outside, and they go back and forth.
It's the sound effects like back in the 30s when the radio was the only medium that we had to listen to. So that's
we just need a joke, and then maybe we'll time it right.
Okay.
A joke where we can use that sound effect.
We're talking to our audience about being open to having their hearts changed.
Amen.
So why don't we listen to Change Our Hearts, O Lord? Trev?
One foot in paradise, one in the waste, drawn by your promises.
know, that whole show has been about changing hearts. And we have some announcements we need to make, Tony. Go ahead.
Yes, I just have a quick announcement because it's very apropos and it's very interesting. Rabbi Spiro, who is the author of a book, Push Back, and he talks about reclaiming the Judeo-Christian spirit and about religious freedom. He's going to be doing a talk at the Shrine of Our Lady of the Island at 258 East Norport Manor Road in Manorville, New York. And he's going to talk about the Christian and the Judeo manner and the religious freedoms that are at jeopardy. And to try and pray to protect those freedoms that were given to us by our founding fathers. So you may want to listen to him. I understand he's a dynamic
speaker. When is
he
doing this?
It's going to be on July the 9th. That's going to be on Tuesday.
Okay.
And it's going to be at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
7 to 9 at the...
And also, before we get into the little brief prayer at the end, Tony and I are going to be at Living Waters next Saturday afternoon from 1 to 4.
Yes.
To do a day of prayer and healing.
And we'll be doing a little talk and some other stuff.
And you know, the one thing that's coming out of the whole program is that God is our strength. God is our strength. Nobody else but God has done it for Stacy and for John. And listeners, he can do it for you.
And he won't let you down.
Say yes. God is our strength, everybody. Hooray. It's a little perky. Takes a while to get going, but it's there. Is it there?
God is the strength of my heart. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. God is the strength of my heart. God is the strength of my heart. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Whom have I in heaven but you? There is nothing on earth I desire beside you. My heart and my strength, many times they fail.
There is one truth tonight.
But there is one truth that always will prevail.
Hey.
God is the strength.
And now we're inviting the whole family to come in and gather around the microphone because God is the strength of this family.
That's right.
And we love them. They love them all. Come on in, guys and gals, and just say after me, God is the strength of my heart. Come on.
God is the strength of my heart.
And indeed he is. Good for you,
Amen.
Folks.
Praise God.
Good for you. Praise God is right. Amen. And even the little 10-week-old is laughing.
Yeah. He is. It's beautiful.
beautiful.
And thank you, listeners. We love you. We give you praise and glory, and we thank Jesus for you listening. Thank you.
Those of the state.